Thank you, Lord. Amen. To open our eyes to see the vision.
Amen.
The heavenly vision.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now we come to chapter 63 and 64. I think we can still make it, right? To the end. We can still make it to the end. Then in chapter 63, amazing, even Isaiah saw the day of the vengeance. Because if this world and his people will not repent, then there is the judgment, which many of us call it the Great Tribulation. The last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And what Isaiah saw here is exactly what Revelation chapter 17, chapter 19 talk about. Is coming down to tread upon the winepress of his wrath. Amen. Chapter 63. Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. And of course, it is the Lord who answered, I who speak again in righteousness, because the Lord's return is all about righteousness now. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who tread in the winepress? Of course, if you wear your apparel and treading on the winepress, depends on what winepress. Your apparel will be red. I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the people no one was with me, for I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. And their blood is sprinkled upon my garment, and I have stained all my robes, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. O Lord, I looked, but there was no one to help. I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury, it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger and made them drunk in my fury and brought down their strength to the earth. Well, this is a very serious word here, right? This is very, very serious. I think you should all read it. And it's so amazing that Isaiah, 2,000... 720 to 40 years, saw this. What's going to happen at the end? Recorded in a book of Revelation. Wow, what a prophet. He saw this. And so if you don't believe it, you better change your mind now. You better believe it. Because it is going to happen very soon. It's going to happen. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't really matter. But definitely the Lord wanted them at that time to believe it. And even more so today in our time, we better believe it. Right. Now let us all read the book of Revelation. We have written down a few verses here, right, in the book of Revelation. Let us read Revelation chapter 14 first. the wine press of his wrath at the very end. This is the last harvest on this earth. Amen. From 17 to 20, right? Amen. Then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who has a power over fire. And he cried out with a loud the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and the blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. Goodness. Wow. It's about 184 miles if you have a footnote there, or a, what do you call it, a reference. Right. That was the Valley of Megiddo. The whole valley there. My goodness. Of course, this is a great day of God's wrath that's going to happen when the sixth seal is opened. Let us read again. Chapter 6. O Lord, amen. Verse 12, beginning in verse 12. Maybe someone can read it to us. Yeah, Brother Timo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Continue to the end, yeah.
I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake.
Amen.
And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood.
Yes.
And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place.
Amen.
And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?
Right. So this will be shortly before the beginning of the last 3.5 years. Right? So when the peace treaty is signed, that will be the beginning of the last 7 years. And the sixth seal will be opened shortly in the middle of the last 7 years. And that will be the beginning of the great day, the day of vengeance. Not a year, but a day.
Yeah.
Right. The great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? And that will also, that correspond to chapter 14, that harvest, right? But this harvest will be towards the end of the 3.5 years, referring to the last war, the war of the Armageddon. And let us turn to chapter 16, right? Because chapter 16 talks about the last trumpet, which is the seven bowls of judgment upon the kingdom of the beast. Right? And the fifth bowl, or the six bowls, let us read here. Verse 12, Let me read to you. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophets, for these are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole earth to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Amen. Jump to verse 16. And they gathered them together at a place called in Hebrew Armageddon. This is called the Battle of Armageddon, right? And Armageddon is just the Valley of Megiddo. So this is going to be taking place in exactly what Zechariah says will take place. I wrote down here Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 to 4. Maybe we can read it together. It is good to know the word, right? Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 12. Amen. Chapter 12, verses 2 to 4. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. And all who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion, its rider madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the people with blindness. Here, let's continue to go to chapter 14, 1 to 5. Amen. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azal. Yes, you shall flee, amen, from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you are with him. Right? So here you can see even Zechariah said very clearly, first of all, where the Lord is going to come back to. Mount of Olives. Man, the Lord has no choice. There's no other place for him to come back to. And he came back there to fight the battle. Right. And let's continue to read in the book of Revelation. Yep, chapter 19. Amen. I'll read it to you all, right? And now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Amen. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Praise the Lord. He is coming back, first of all, to make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns. And he had a name written which no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe, just like Isaiah said, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Now his word is a double-edged sword. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horse. In this very same chapter, the fine linen, white and clean, was the wedding garment. Right? In the first chapter, in the first part of this chapter, the righteous acts of the saints in verse 8. Now that wedding garments will become an army uniform. Yeah, the same material, the same size. It becomes an army uniform. That means if you did not wear that wedding garment, if you are not qualified to wear that wedding garment in verse 8, then you are not qualified to be in the army to come down with him in white. So, praise the Lord. Well, think about it. I just mentioned it. You go back and think about it. Right? And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him also on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations that are gathered there in chapter 16 in the valley of Megiddo there, to conquer, to fight against God, and to destroy Jerusalem. They want to destroy that city. It's amazing, isn't it? And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And of course, the man-child with him, right? And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. My, you cannot imagine. This is unimaginable, that the army of the whole earth will be gathered there, like grapes thrown into the winepress. Not imaginable. But hey, you know, they gather them together there, those three demonic spirits, to fight against God. They're so foolish. You know, that devil is really foolish. How can you fight against God? And he has a name, right? And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So his second coming is to rule now. Not just the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God. Now you should say, behold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How wonderful. Amen. But that's why today he must be our king. That's why we added those verses. He's our king, he's our king. He has ascended, sitting on the throne. And then he's coming back as the king to rule over. And then we will rule with him as kings and priests. Yeah, right? And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. Now you know why there are so many birds. And the crows, they're crying out. Ah, ah, ah. You should tell them, wait, the time is not yet come for that great feast. They are already impatient, telling God, we are waiting for that feast. Yeah, all the vultures. Yeah, all the seagulls, all kinds of birds and hawks and eagles and all the vultures. They are waiting for that great day of God's feast for them. Really. That's why there are so many birds today. Come and gather together for the supper of the great God prepared for them, that you may eat the flesh of kings, captains, mighty men, horses, and those who sat or sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great, because they are going to be slaughtered there. Yeah. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. You think they'll win? Then the beast was captured, the false prophet with him, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image, and these two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with a sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on horses. And all the birds were filled and satisfied with their flesh. You know, that's a very economical way to clean up. Yeah, God is economical, believe me. You know, yeah. Before, you know, when I heard the crow crying out there, so loud, I got bothered. But today I know what to tell them. I said, wait. Don't be impatient. It's better than being bothered. Yeah. Tell them, wait. It's coming. Just wait. Amen. I hope we are just as impatient telling the Lord and remind him. Amen. And of course, an angel came down from heaven having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, laid hold of that dragon, the serpent of old, who is called devil and Satan, bound him for 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years finished. So that means there during 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom, praise the Lord, Christ will rule there. Satan is bound to the beast and prophets thrown into the lake. Right. And the Lord will rule there over 1,000 years. And we will rule with him over the nations with a rod of iron. Because during the millennial kingdom, the nations still have sin in them. Right. So praise the Lord. And this is the battle of the Armageddon, the last battle that Isaiah was talking about, the day of God's vengeance. Let's go back quickly to Isaiah and just fellowship a little bit about it. Amen. The Lord's love is great, the Bible says. God is very merciful and great in his mercy. His love for us is great, and for the people, and his patience too. Look, the year of the acceptable year of the Lord, right? Today, the age of grace, God is so patient. Look at what people are doing against him. And he still didn't do anything. right? Of course, he did something when it is really needed. Right? But he is giving everybody a chance, even giving us a chance. How many chances did the Lord give us to change? Right? So learn. Don't say, I am what I am. That's what I am. No, 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 no. The Lord wants to change us, to transform us, to save to the uttermost. And this is what Peter was saying, right? Some says, oh, you said he's coming. How come he's not here yet? So what did Peter say? Because God is patient with you. He desired to see all of us will be saved, saved to the uttermost, giving us time. So be patient. You should be thankful that the peace treaty is not done right away. The Lord is stretching the time as far as possible. Right? But we are so impatient. We go, oh, why this? Why that? Oh, well, you should be thankful. You should be thankful because the Lord is stretching the time to the max to give you minutes and seconds. Even seconds is important. Days, hours, minutes, and seconds to give you every opportunity and give all of us every opportunity to repent, to gain Him. Right. This is God's mercy. But when the time comes, there is no more mercy. No. God's wrath is as great as His mercy. So when He comes again to deal with the nations, especially in that last 3.5 years, there is no mercy. And He's going to judge in righteousness. Right, it is amazing. So many armies there of the whole world, and the blood will be flowing up to the bridle of horses. Right? Almost just about this much. It becomes a river of blood. This is really, really amazing. Right? And during the 3.5 years, you should realize, I don't want to be here. First of all, that great red dragon is going to be cast down from heaven in the Revelation chapter 12. And with him, 1/3 of the angels that followed him. That's a lot. I don't know how many angels there are, but there are legions and legions. There are so many angels. It's good not to know the numbers, but I tell you, there are not few, okay? And 1/3 of them became the evil spirits, fallen angels, following him. They're all cast down to this earth. They're confined to this planet called planet Earth. You like to be here? You should be thankful they are up in the air or somewhere in the heaven. But in that 3.5 years, no, they're going to be here, your neighbors. They're going to be your neighbors. And then Satan will have the keys to the bottomless pit. And he opens the bottomless pit. And that will be in the 5th trumpet. All the demons locked up for ages there will all of a sudden be free. Can you imagine if they become free? They become crazy. They're freed. And also will spread throughout the whole world. Would you like that? And they will be visible to you. Today is so good, you don't see them. you like to be here when it happens? Really? Ah. No, the movie sounds like them. What do you think those guys got the ideas? Right. Right. So it's terrible. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. Right. And all the nature, one third of all the natures will be destroyed. Yeah. All the fish in the sea died. No more seafood. No more sushi, okay. You want to eat sushi, you better eat it today. No more sushi. You can only see food. You can dream about them. All the animals, all the living creatures in the sea died. And the water, drinkable water, becomes bitter. My goodness. Ah. Oh, goodness. Right. And that's just the beginning, okay? That's not the six balls. That's just the beginning. And then when all the demons come out, my goodness, they will be tormenting people for 5 months. And death will flee away from you. People will cannot die. Today, you don't like to die, but death comes visit you. You have no choice. But in that day, people like to die, and death will run away from them. When you want to die, death runs away. But today, you don't want to die, death comes knocking at your door. For 5 months. You'll see death, the tormented people everywhere, screaming, shouting. Some jump down from the 10th floor and still alive, with broken bones. What are you going to do? You think it's a pleasant sight? And then when the sixth trumpet was blown, you have 200 million strange horse people and horse riders, strange kind of demonic riders and demonic horses, and slaughtering one third of the whole population of the world. One third. Over 2 billion people will be slaughtered. Wherever you are, where are you going to hide at that time? Very difficult situation. You like to be here? Yeah, you like to be here. Think about it. This is the great day of God's wrath. And then the six bowls will be even more terrible. Let me just read to you. The seventh trumpet, but praise the Lord, if you have to go through the great tribulation, at the sound of the seventh trumpet, you'll be taken up to the air. So, but it's good to know what's going to happen on this earth. So here, and I heard a loud voice, chapter 16, from the temple saying to the seventh angel, go out and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. This is the finale, the grand finale. Yeah. So, the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had a mark of the beast and those who worship his image. Everyone there who worshiped the beast. And the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, well, even the Lord set angels to be in charge of the water. You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, who was, who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, Amen. Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgment. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scourge men with fire. You know, we were complaining yesterday already, it was too hot. And men were scourged with great heat. Scourged with great heat. It's not just 110 degrees. 100 and what? 50, maybe. The Lord just have to command the sun to come a little bit closer. But listen, they blaspheme the name of God instead of repenting. Who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent, nor give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowls on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. And they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. O Lord Jesus. Right, and we know what happened to the sixth seal. Verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, It is done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, and a mighty and great earthquake, even greater than when the sixth seal was opened, as had not occurred since men were on the earth. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell. Great Babylon, of course, was remembered. So the Lord, because Babylon is a special issue before God, that's why God used chapter 18, 17 and 18 to describe Babylon. Verse 20, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Some people measure it almost as big as a basketball, if not a bit bigger. Can you imagine hail that big coming down and so high, and then with the momentum, it's going to destroy everything. It's going to destroy everything. And it's heavy. Yeah. Oh Lord, but yet men blaspheme God because of the plagues of the hail, since that plague was exceeding great. Can you imagine how hard people became? Now let me ask you, aren't we also hardened oftentimes in our heart? God has already given us so many opportunities to repent, but still we don't. Yeah. So may the Lord take away the hardness of our heart. Amen. And Paul warned us in Ephesians chapter 4. Our hearts should not be hardened. We should not walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of the mind. And the heart is then hardened. And then we are estranged from the life of God. We lost all the feelings there. Yep. So in a way, today, we are also hardened, perhaps not in that extent, but enough so that we rebel against God and we say no to Him. Right. So take care. Our heart should not be hardened. Then we don't have time. Because of such a terrible, terrible day of vengeance that is coming, the prophet Isaiah intercede for his people. Right? Don't just know, okay, that day is coming, the 3.5 years is coming, the great tribulation is coming. We need to pray for God's people. Pray for yourself. Pray for God's people. Pray for mercy. You should read those verses yourself. Right? Previously, Isaiah confessed for God's people. Because they don't confess, so Isaiah confessed for them. And now Isaiah is interceding for them through his prayer. And we must be also those who intercede for God's people. Pray, peradventure the Lord will listen and help. And still use this time to save and to turn them and grant them grace. But you have to realize it is not easy to turn people's hardened heart. You tell them things, they'll laugh at you. They don't believe you. Not only they don't believe, they'll oppose you. And they will in a way blaspheme. What are you talking about? That's Old Testament. Priesthood, we don't need that. Offerings. Right. Instead of really looking into it and see, Lord, what do you say? But the reaction is that of a rebellious nature, which is not wise, not good. Right. We need to intercede for them. What can you do? What? To condemn them? You want to scold them? Useless. Their scolding will be stronger than you. Right? You cannot do anything, but you can intercede before the Father for them. Amen. There's not much we can do. Right? But time is up. We can just mention a few verses tonight. We still have tomorrow, right? Tomorrow? Oh, tonight and tomorrow. Oh, so we have two chapters. We can make it, yeah. Praise the Lord. We can make it. Amen. Let's have some prayers.